Tuesday, June 13th, 2006. Upon further review, episode number one. This is where it all started.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
All right, so welcome. Welcome to Upon Further Review. My name is Greg.
My name is Clea.
This is the inaugural show, my dear, of Upon Further Review.
Long time in the coming.
Yeah, long time in the coming. We should explain a little bit about what the show is about, I guess, and sort of describe what the whole genesis of it was. Most of you who are listening, at least initially, will probably be fans of the MEP Report, I think. And if you're not, you should go check it out at www. Okay, I'm sorry, I won't do that. But anyway, it's a comedy show, a comedy podcast that I do with friends of mine, and Clea has guest starred on that show. And Clea, on her guest star performances, she's actually become like a spot starter, you know, because she's that good. Clea, you know, and I had a really good time, and we thought, you know, it would be fun to be able to do another show that's got a little bit of a different twist, I guess I'd say, right?
Because we got lots of opinions, and we want to give them.
Yeah, that's basically it. We have lots of things to say, and so now we can do it because it's bandwidth, and bandwidth's cheap. But yeah, and one of the things that we want to avoid doing as well is there are, I mean, literally, there are like a trillion freaking couple
you
casts.
Say, I guess I should go on and like see all these different couple
dude,
things.
Dude, I have no idea, but like some of the people out there do, I mean, and you know, we have a lot of, you know, we have friends who do some of these things that do great couple casts. Okay, if you're those friends, you guys are the good ones, okay? But, like, there are some people, I don't understand.
You have the two people that you know, Greg. Okay, right. It's not like we have to worry about.
Right, yeah, exactly. Well, but, you know, like, some of them, I mean, they're these things about, you know, like, well, here's something, you know, today my child dropped a rattle on the floor and I picked it up and it was great. I was like, why is that interesting? But, you know.
Well, maybe, I don't know. You said that they have a following, so I guess some people.
Yeah,
need something to listen to on the drive to work.
That's right. So we hope that we will become part of that daily commute for you guys. The whole point of this show is going to be, you know, Clea and I, who are married, and I guess we'll very briefly give a little bit about ourselves in a second. We are going to be doing a review show here. So we'll certainly have couple stuff that will come into it, I imagine. But the main focus of the show is going to be reviewing everything. I actually am a theater critic part-time for a website called curtainup.com, so sometimes I might review, you know, a theater show. Clea is an active moviegoer, and so she might review some of that stuff, and if I see the movie with her, then I'll, you know, sort of chime in. You know, we might review, I don't know, pet products. I mean, who knows? Anything is possible on our show. But anyway, so that's the idea. And we hope, as a process of listening to this, that you guys will be able to interact with us. We encourage you to send in things to us via email, which you'll see on our website, and, you know, call us on the phone and things like that to give us some information about things you'd like to see reviewed. And we hope to bring this to you once per week of the finest in review technology and conversations. So that's the idea. So you want to tell them a little bit about yourself, my dear? Now that you've had your massage for the night, which was a little distressing.
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever done anything like this. I had a masseuse that I had
first
gone
and
to.
Last.
a masseuse that I had gone to at a spa a few times, and I liked him. He does really good work, and I'm a cheap bastard, so I tried to steal him away from the spa, and so he kind of passed his phone number, you know, behind the back, and so for the first time, I had a masseuse come to my house, a massage in my house.
Yeah. While I waited in the office with my dog, who was whining at the whole,
Bobby,
masseuse outside.
I didn't hear that at all.
Yeah, I know. Well,
that was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway.
Appreciate you sacrificing. So anyway.
So Clea's relaxed.
I'm nice and relaxed.
So what do you do?
I'm a social worker.
Social worker.
I'm originally from Seattle. 30 years old. I just turned 30.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And I'm a social worker for the city of New York. Mm-hmm. And
boy, is there a lot of social work to be done in New York.
Done in New York, yeah. And I've been on the East Coast for, gosh, how long has it been now? Almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've noticed some interesting differences between the West Coast and the East Coast. So that's something that we'll probably want to talk about. That's it for now, I think, you know.
Yeah, that's probably good enough. And Clea, as she's already stated, has lots of opinions, which she'll communicate to me. So I figured I might as well let other people communicate that as well. And so that's Clea. And as I said, my name is Greg. I'm actually a English professor at St. John's University in New York. And I already mentioned that I'm part-time theater critic, but I do other stuff as well. I am a writer. I'm hoping to get my first book published soon. Hello, publisher, please respond. And I also do this comedy show that I mentioned, and I'm also the lead singer of a band, which has gotten signed by an unbelievably small label of a company that has two people in it. So anyway, what that all means is, and Clea and I actually met through debate in college. So what that all means is that we're capable of arguing about things and making opinions about things and hopefully able to speak about a variety of different things.
Or yeah, I wonder if it's going to turn into that, if it's going to be like,
I don't see why,
you know, us pro and con or, you know.
No, we agree on most stuff. And if we get out of line, our dog Lilo, who you might hear growling and moving around in the background, will probably help with that.
Okay.
She really wanted to be a part of it, but there's that whole, you know, she doesn't have an opposable thumb and she doesn't really speak English, so.
And she doesn't like it when we argue, so
no,
she does usually come in and stop.
That's right.
By plopping.
She is not a big fan.
On her laps or bitch slapping us with her tail.
Which is literally true, as she is a bitch. In fact.
Yes.
Well, I'm just pointing it out.
The bum ching.
All right, so now that you know a little bit about us, let's move on to review number one. And this one is kind of a small mini review, and it's as much review as it is a rant. And it's going to be about something which I think will be near and dear to the hearts of many people here. It's about cable versus DSL, or specifically in this case, why cable sucks. Or even more specifically, why Time Warner Cable sucks.
But I was wondering, like, I'm going to be interested to see, because up until this point we've had cable, and so now we have DSL, and I'm interested to see if there legitimately is a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's the customer service issue.
Yes.
That you're mainly going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. But I honestly wonder if there's a difference, because up until this point, I mean, the only way I really knew about any kind of difference is commercials on the television or when I had a friend who was downloading music from LimeWire.
Legally, with all licenses and protected content after having paid for all of it.
Right.
Completely. Please go away.
All and right, noticed, yeah. You know, differences depending upon whether or not someone has, you know, different connections.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So far, we've had it for all of about, you know, 6 hours. And I mean, so far, what I like about it is it hasn't gone down like the cable modem went down. It's been stable. I check my email and I can check my email, you know, and instead of having to like do busted things. So I like that. And I'm hoping for the best. But the thing about the customer service thing that really drove me nuts, and this is the thing that I wanted to focus on, was, okay, this is just a general customer service rant, okay? If I call and I'm having trouble with the service and you send a technician out and the technician doesn't fix it and I call again, and by the way, between each visit, I think that there's one cable type. Did we figure this out? There's like one technician for all of Time Warner who's responsible for all calls, which is the only way you can explain why you call back and then they get back to you a week and a half, 2 weeks.
There's a lot of people that receive, and we are in New York City. I do need to remind you that.
So the problem is just that everybody has problems. There's lots of people, but there's a lot of problems. Yeah, that's true. Well, we are in a big city, I know. But anyway, so it was really frustrating. And if I call and I do that, I really want the problem fixed eventually. And this last time, I quit, the modem goes up, modem goes down. Modem goes up, modem goes down. Try to check a page, doesn't work, goes down. Goes up, goes down, goes up to none. I also realized, by the way, how completely absurdly connected we are now to the internet. Like, it's really out of control. I mean, you know, yes, you say, well, you can be away from the computer and, you know, I'm not addicted to it, right? But, man, we do a lot of stuff on computers now. I mean, it's, you know? So, you know, being away from that was equally frustrating. And I needed to have the thing working. I called them. Finally, they send a technician out who allegedly knocked on the door, did not lock on the door. I was here for the 6-hour range of things that is required as a part of this, right? And all of that process, that entire process, which just took weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, just took forever to finally get done, I just finally gave up. And the thing that kills me is when I gave up and I said, okay, that's it, I want to cancel, the person didn't even try. I mean, they're just like, okay, yep, well, that's fine. Well, let me just kind of transfer you over to processing. What?
You know, we've talked in the past about how customer service has gone totally downhill in America. Because, you know, decades ago, America used to be infamous for our customer service. And that's
infamous
not
now, famous then, yeah.
That's not the case anymore.
No.
And I don't know if it's because there's so many different companies now that the competitiveness has gotten such that they don't even need to compete really anymore. If there's a lot of more kids that are working And that therefore they don't really care.
You realize that you've reached 30 and now it's those damn kids, right?
Those darn kids. Right. Yeah, I've already read. Or if it's because a lot of the customer service has been sent overseas, as you know, we've discussed.
I treasure you. Yes.
So, I mean, I don't know if that plays a part of it, but I mean, it's the same thing of like when with my dealings with Verizon, is there's no trying to keep me. There's no maybe if I'm displeased, they try to do something.
Careful, though. That's our DSL provider. So if we just transferred one crap piece of crap for another piece of crap, that, you know.
Oh, well, I think you're not naive enough to think that
I'm hoping it's marginally better. It's the lesser of two evils, I hope.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Verizon, I'm sure there's people out there that have had the exact same experience with Verizon DSL that we've had.
Yeah, probably.
With cable.
Probably,
so,
that's true.
But hopefully in this area, at this time, it's going to be better.
But that says something, doesn't it? Why is it that there's certain things, like everybody always loves their doctor, right? Or they wouldn't stay with their doctor. Everybody always loves, like, you know, their barber or their hairdresser or something like that. They like these people. They go back to them over and over again. When's the last time you heard someone say, I really love my cable provider? Right. Or if they have satellite, I really love DirecTV. Maybe people are neutral about it, but you never hear people really being dedicated to it. And that's because these things are all monopolies. So you're forced to stay in with them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the thing that gets me. It's like, why? I don't.
I mean, there are fewer and fewer choices.
Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with cable or phone companies. Certain companies have that neighborhood. And if you move into that neighborhood, you have to deal with those companies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm hoping, assuming all of you are listening to this and not downloading it at 2 kilobytes a second because you're on dial-up, there's people out in Iowa who are just like, God damn it, I wish I had DSL, you know, so I don't know. But anyway, yeah, so I don't know. Pretty much I'm tempted to give Time Warner like 2 out of 5.
A 2. Okay. So. I think that's fine.
Okay. All right, good. So we've already, on our first review, successfully managed to agree on 1. Okay.
Well done.
That's good.
Go us.
All right, so second review of the evening is about something entirely different, which will be the format. And, Clea, I'll let you take this one. We're reviewing what specifically here?
Well, again, we're going to have to, you know, get a real idea from friends and family of, like, what kind of things people find interesting for us to review.
And then ignore them. No, I'm just kidding.
But obviously this first one, we go for things that we feel passionate about, although you were quite controlled in your... Mm-hmm. Passion
yes.
there because that you weren't so controlled before. So Greg had his subject that he was passionate about after having to dealing
well,
with
see,
the incompetence.
Well, see, the internet's back now, so, you know. Like, seriously, if the internet was just like, down goes Frasier, then I wouldn't, you know, I'd be passionate.
You would have, okay, so now that you've been satiated.
Yes, I feel comfortable.
But, so now something that I'm kind of passionate about is the recent X-Men movie.
X-Men 3, The Last Stand.
And, oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this movie for as long as since the last movie came out. So what's that?
I don't know. 2003, I believe. I think it's 3 years. It's either 2 or 3 years. I don't remember.
See, that's a long time in life.
That's true.
Since before my 30s.
Since before you reach your third decade.
And yeah. I'm sure there's other people out there. And I've never been one of those people that's a real fan of something and would post different things on different internet sites. But I legitimately think I'd like to post something or send some kind of fan mail about this because I legitimately feel... They did a major disservice.
Now, I didn't see this movie. I've only heard, you know,
yeah,
I've read...
Yeah, because you were a weakling.
Well, no, it has nothing to do with that. It's because first of all, I read the reviews, unlike you, before I went, and
yeah,
I was not as
was
into
this Lord of the
movie.
Rings...
Oh, Lord of the
even
Rings.
Even if you had heard
oh.
bad reviews,
yeah.
you would have gone.
Well, that's... Oh, of course. No doubt.
Right, so...
But that's because Lord of the Rings is, like, my thing. That's my favorite deal, right?
Uh-huh.
So, but yeah, so I didn't... But I've read a lot of the reviews that sort of confirm this, although I also... I mean, it made a lot of money at the box office, so it's
and
good,
I'm glad of that,
it's an
because
action
I want
flick,
them...
But,
I mean, I'm glad that I hope they are successful because I don't want it to end. I like the characters, and up until this last movie, I think that they were doing justice to the original comic, but...
We should say, by the way, that we hate to make people fast forward through our first show. Are you going to be able to keep this spoiler-free? Why don't you keep it spoiler-free as best you can for people who haven't seen the movie yet? Like, just explain... Maybe you can just explain... Well, we'll do one little section where it's spoiler free, and then we'll do a little section where you have spoilers. Okay,
but from a non-spoiler perspective, I mean, we're not talking Titanic here, but I think people know what's happening. Hmm. I mean, Well, you know what? I don't think I can do spoiler free because part of the reason that this movie was so wrong was that they made these stupid choices that were totally not true to the characters.
From the first two movies.
From the first two movies. Totally not true to the characters from the comic. Or what the essence of being a mutant or an X-Man is.
Just one thing about that before you go on, which is to say, I mentioned this to you before. Director of the first two films, Bryan Singer, who did The Usual Suspects. Director of the last film, Ratner, whose biggest accomplishment is Rush Hour. I mean, this is not exactly going from, this is like going from Monet to a finger painter, okay? Like, not exactly equivalent talents, I would say. So, that was one problem.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a choice between, I mean, of those movies, you're talking a more intellectual action as just opposed to comic brainless action.
Right.
And so I guess that speaks to how they portrayed it. But the characters had no depth, none of the facets that they showed in other movies, and we would think they would have if you showed any kind of understanding of character development.
At all.
And then they just made a lot of choices that I think they didn't have to make.
Well, isn't it true, by the way, that Halle Berry, who played Storm, I guess one of her things was that she demanded that she have, like, a bigger part of the pie. And the problem is there, you're taking the less interesting character of Storm and played by Halle Berry, who, you know, I won't get into her acting talents. Catwoman.
Well, I have respect for Halle Berry in a lot of areas. I wanted to defend her. But I guess if that's true, and again, I'm just going on it that you've read, because I don't do this. I don't read report. I just wanted to go and see a movie that I cared about,
right,
that, you know, I've somewhat read the comics about.
Right.
But if it's true, then I could see it. I could see it being a really poor director, and I could see a big Hollywood star saying that you have to do these different things because she does have more lines. And in many, in every instance, her lines are stupid. Mm-hmm. Her role is, again, without color or facets, and not consistent with her role before in the other two movies.
Right.
It is suddenly she's become, you know, a major figure when before she wasn't. In order to get to have her be a significant role, they had to do things to other characters to make that possible,
right,
which I can't say.
Okay, all right, spoiler alert. Here we go. I will now give you a minute to give all the spoilers you want. Ready? Everyone ready? Ready to fast? Now, all you have to do is fast forward a minute. Don't go through the whole show. Don't leave. just leave for a minute, okay, so Clea can get her spoilers out. Okay, ready? Dink, dink. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead with your spoilers.
So we've had enough Hollywood-esque that we know suspension of disbelief.
Right.
Okay, so I could have suspended disbelief on a number of things, and they wouldn't have had to make the choices. But obviously, they made stupid choices. It's like you read that one fantasy novel you were talking about, where the author is all about killing off characters.
Yeah, this is George R.R. Martin, if there's any fantasy fans out there. Yeah, the Game of Thrones and stuff like that. Yeah, he kills off characters like they're going out of style. It would be like starting Superman and then killing off Superman and Lex Luthor in, like, the first 20 minutes. Like,
And, I mean, obviously, it's stupid. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going... I mean, sure, quite often you'll go to a movie and you'll go, there's no way they would have survived. But you find the characters interesting, and it's not reality, it's a movie, and you want entertainment. So I don't want characters that I care about that play significant roles to die. And so, obviously, if it's true, you know, that Halle Berry's character Storm has to suddenly become significant, then I guess they had to get rid of Cyclops. So sure enough, like, early on in the film...
By the way, if you just came back from the minute, we're still talking about spoilers. I should have known this would take longer. Come back in another minute. All right.
So anyway, so Phoenix starts kissing Cyclops and then kills him. Now, and then Dr. X realizes... Professor X then realizes that something's wrong and tells Wolverine and Storm, because they're the magic duo now,
right,
to go to the lake. Now, he could have stopped. It could have stopped earlier. She could have started doing that. He could have sensed that something was wrong, and he could have mentally called out to Jane,
mm-hmm,
and then she would have stopped. And Cyclops could have been comatose for the rest of the movie, and I would have cared less. But he didn't have to die. It's ridiculous.
Why did you have to die?
Regardless of the fact that he's a major player throughout the entire comics.
Yeah.
He doesn't die.
Yeah.
So
well, and the other thing about that too is that, you know, I do have respect for movies. I do have respect for franchises that are willing to kill off major characters if they keep them killed off. Like, that was the thing about the Superman. If anyone remembers the Superman comic where they tried to kill Superman, and then they went, "Oh my God, we can't kill off Superman. We better bring him back in this random combination of things," which is absurd. So I do have respect for them doing that. But clearly, you know, based on all the money that they're going to make from this, that they're not going to stop at X-Men 3. So they're going to have to bring back some of these people. Well, and the problem there is, like, then it just becomes lame. It's like, well, you know, I mean, you know, either though, kill them off or don't. You know?
You know, though, but I think there has always been a point from the beginning that I guess this was going to be a trilogy. And from the beginning, I never understood that. I never understood why they had to go into it making it a trilogy. Why don't you keep making the movies until it doesn't work anymore?
Especially after the first one. Like, maybe you think the first one's going to be a flop, but then the first one was this huge success, and they thought, oh, wait. And then X2 was even a bigger success.
Right.
So obviously you've got something going here.
And I was concerned about that when I waited those 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
That there was this whole focus of The Last Stand. And I was concerned then that they were going to say, okay, we need to ensure then that this really does bring it all together. And I don't... Regardless of the fact, I don't understand the obsession with trilogies.
Yeah, well, you know, even in books, that's the same thing. Yeah. Fantasy is the same way.
I guess it's the beginning, middle, end concept.
It sort of fits.
It's triad, whatever.
You know.
But I was concerned about that. So I guess they stayed true to that, but I didn't see it as necessary. But you started going off on how you don't like people bringing back people. Honestly, I disliked so many choices of this movie. And don't get me wrong, I don't regret seeing it because, again, I'm a fan. But I would be totally fine if they create a new movie and bring back all of the people that they killed and all suspension of
disbelief. Just kidding, April Fools.
Suspension of belief. I wouldn't even mind if they brought it back as if the third movie never happened.
Right. Well, that's what they did with the Batman stuff. I mean, if you guys remember, Batman, you know, started out, you had the first Batman movie, it was good. Second one was okay. Third one, and they just got terrible. And then they just said, the hell with all of it. Batman Returns. Batman Begins. They're like, never mind. And all that other stuff that happened, doobie-doo, boobie-doo. You know, these are not the movies you're looking for.
Right. And unfortunately, though, that they have to do with all new characters when I do like some of the cast here. But yeah, no, I mean, I would be fine with that. So much a fan is so disappointed with.
You know what's worse,
too?
They're going to do, I told you this already.
I know, they're going to do Wolverine.
Yeah, and the director might be the same kind of director.
I know, and that's why I feel like, again...
Clea was so upset by this, she didn't even want me to talk about it. I was like, well, what about this? She's like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, but what about this? She's like, no, something else. Al-Zarqawi was killed in Iraq, right? Let's talk about that. That's much less traumatic than, you know, let's talk about, like, you know, soldiers and, you know, problems.
I know, that doesn't speak very highly of me, I'm an American, so what can I say?
So Americans shouldn't be spoken highly of? Is that the idea? No, I mean, you know, you get passionate about different things. I understand that, and you put some investment into this franchise, you know, in the end.
I was disappointed. And it's like a true Democrat, I don't like that my voice can't be heard and I couldn't maybe possibly influence. It's like the Bush agenda. This corporate model is coming into every facet of our country, which is not based on a true understanding of what's important. It's entirely based on how can we make money. So all these people are being put into positions purely based on who they know and purely based on what they think they can bring to the table around making things more financially, fiscally responsible. Not at all about what they understand about what really matters
right. In
the position that they're being put into. And I guess I feel like that must be here. You know, again, Fox, they wouldn't have any correlation to the... Bush
not at all. There'd be nothing to that.
You know, obviously they're about, you know, oh, let's wrap this up with a third and Big Bang and make money. And that's all that really mattered.
But see, and the problem is that you have to be careful because if you look at a movie like, say, Star Trek Nemesis, right, which was a fan-made film, that was a fan script, it was, you know, everything else, that movie was garbage.
True.
And that was something where they were trying to listen to the fans. And I think the problem is the fans were so, and I, no one loves Star Trek more than I do. I love the original Star Trek. And then I like the Next Generation as well. But there's a point when you have to say, look, you got to move on. You know, you got to go on to new things and not necessarily let go of Star Trek, but at least let go of that particular cast. And here they were like, okay, well, the fans really want it. So we're going to do it. And I don't know. I mean, so I hear what you're saying. I mean, like, clearly
no,
you want to have influence, but
it's a very good point. It's a valid point, actually.
Greg, one valid point.
You might as well get it in. You're not going to hear that too many more times over the next couple of weeks.
That's awesome.
I'm very good about it. When you're right, I admit you're right.
Yes.
I always say that.
Which is why, as we said, it's a rare...
Right, because you're rarely right.
Because I'm rarely right. Oh, yes. I love you too.
Yes. So I just
So was the movie irredeemable? I mean, is it? No.
There are good moments. Please go see it. There's moments, and still the essence of the characters and the essence of the message is there, but it lost all of its facets, all of its intellectual, spiritual beauty for me, because they obviously, the people that were writing, and they're major people that are making decisions this time, don't understand depth of people. And the real decisions that they were making. And therefore, I think they were making, they had the characters making, taking actions that they wouldn't have taken.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you want to do in the spoiler.
Right. So now that you've cut back in, okay, spoiler. You really only have 10 seconds. They're like, say 30 seconds, okay? Ready, go. All right, spoiler, go.
Okay, in the end, when Beast and Wolverine are, see the projectile from the gun of the cure, right, with the medicine, the stuff that's gonna, that takes away the X gene,
right?
And they see that, and they look at each other, and I guess what they're deciding is Wolverine's realizing, I have to do it as a team, which means he'll do one thing and I'll do another. That's their concept of teamwork in this movie, which is really stupid because I think he's understood that from previous movies,
right?
But what I was thinking when they were thinking about when they looked at each other is they were going through the myriad of contemplation, of struggling, of what it would mean to use this against a fellow X-Men, a fellow mutant.
Yeah.
No, because I think that's the true mission, the true message, right? That they could have made of the struggle that Beast would have to, when he had just denounced to the president that, you know, the slippery slope that they'd be going on of even using these guns. That he looks at it and says, well, but we shouldn't do that because that's wrong. We should fight him on our ground. We should fight him as fellow mutants, being able to do that without taking away who he is as a true person.
Right. But all of that, you know, takes too long. You know, one of the reasons that Bryan Singer, who was the original director, got off this project is because he said he needed more time to finish it. And they said, well, we don't have that time. We'll bring in somebody who does. And part of the reason Singer needed more time is, you know, because he knows what he's doing. And he knew that the movie, not only did he need more time to do the movie itself needed to be longer. I mean, the movie's only like an hour and 45 minutes. Yeah. And like, there's so, from the way you described it and from what I read online, there's so many characters and so much stuff going on that it's like, okay, slow, and then
wrap up all the ends.
Well, yeah, but then don't make it for three movies. You know, make it extended to another
movie. That's
what I was saying. Another two movies. Yeah.
I guess so, honestly, that's, you know, what I, yeah, I think that that's it, is that, you know, there's certain subjects that you can do in three, and I guess I would
have
hoped...
We're past the spoilers, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Right. And I guess I would have thought that they, seeing all of the richness of this comic, they would see that this is something that could go on for quite a bit, because there are so many characters and so much character development and so many possible plots that they could have done. There's no reason to do it in three movies.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord of the Rings, you do it in three movies because three books. It's pretty straightforward. But this is a whole series. These are characters that could go on. They develop. They change.
Yep.
They go from evil to good and back, you know.
They definitely change. As mutants, they sort of, you know.
I mean, Spider-Man, they're not going to do it in trilogy. Why not? Why Spider-Man should be the same? Why are they making that go on? Why should that comic be any different?
I know.
I don't know why they decide. And that's one character. Spider-Man's one man. And there's 50 million X-Men. I don't understand why they made that choice.
I don't know. It's not like, you know, I mean, maybe they would say, well, we don't want to oversaturate the market with hero movies, but people are reading this stuff up. I mean,
no,
you know,
right.
They're going to go
if
see.
If it wasn't
they're gonna,
making
they're
money.
Even making spinoffs. Like, why make spinoffs like Wolverine and all that stuff if they're worried about the X-Men franchise doesn't have any life left in it? I mean, obviously it does. And, yeah, I don't understand that either. I don't understand the need. I mean, again, it's like a balance, right? Star Trek never ends. On the other hand, you know, and maybe you would say, well, it would be nice to get some of the cast sort of, you know, finished up so we could move on with the new cast. But on the other hand, the alternative is what you suggested, which is like putting in this artificial limit of three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't understand that either. But that's, I'm telling you, it's an easy number for people to get their head around. There's like three, it's numbers three, it's the Holy Trinity. It's
I guess in that way, they maybe wouldn't have to be clumped in with all of the other people that are just doing sequels and everything's a sequel. But I don't know. Maybe not being tuned in to your market.
Yeah.
At all.
Either way.
And supposedly, these are corporate people who would understand this, but obviously they don't.
This, again, points out, right, how stupid it is to claim that, like, corporations
right.
have, you know, this super efficient, and they understand the market. I mean, they don't understand the market any better than anybody else does, or they wouldn't come out with some of the garbage that they come out with from a movie perspective.
Corporations go out
of
business every day.
And run.
It doesn't mean, simply because it's corporate model doesn't mean that it's efficient.
Yep.
It understands the market and it's going to be successful.
Yep.
Because
I agree.
In many instances, the corporate model fails. Yet, but we in capitalism, we have this idealized vision of corporate model.
Yep.
And it's just so sad because it lacks... Spoken like a true social worker.
Spoken like a true social worker. No, that's true. Well, so we've come to the end of a half hour, my dear, and we should probably wrap up the first show. We want to thank everybody for listening. And again, you're listening to Upon Further Review. You will probably hear at the end of this show, I'm going to put in a little clip where I'm going to talk about the emails and the phone numbers that I don't know right at the moment that you'll be able to listen. But please check out our website. Please check out our show again. We will come to you once a week. And we will have a half hour of all new reviews, fun, and goodness next week.
Fun and gooey goodness.
Upon Further Review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
Have a good night. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.